My job is to introduce a wonderful pastor and colleague, Rob Reed. He is one of our supported missionaries here in our church. He works with Freedom in Christ and is the regional coordinator for Latin America. He was also a covenant pastor for a number of years, and many of you remember that we supported his parents in mission, Nancy and Jerry, and Nancy was even here for a few years before she went to be with the Lord. And so we honor their legacy, and we're glad to welcome Rob this morning. Would you please welcome him as he comes to deliver God's word?
Hey, so I was thinking, there was this young boy who was on his bicycle. So this is Spain, and he was going past the church, and the Catholic priest comes out, and he sees this young boy on his bicycle, and he waves him down, and he stops, and he invites him into the church to teach him how to pray. And it's Spain, right? So he wanted to teach him how to pray. And the boy said, well, what about my bicycle? I said, just leave it outside. The Holy Spirit will take care of your bicycle. And he's like, okay. He walks inside, and he's learning how to pray, and the priest teaches him how to pray. It's good Catholic Spain, how to pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? And so then it's his turn to pray, and the little boy prays. He prays out loud this simple little prayer, and he says, in the name of the Father and the Son, amen. And the priest said, what about the Holy Spirit? Oh, he's outside taking care of my bike. So we need, don't we, the fullness of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray once again. Holy Spirit, would you just fill this place as you have been here before us decades ago, centuries ago, since the beginning of time, and today as well, you are present, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach us to know not only in our minds, but in our heart of hearts, your truth, and to taste and to see, as it says in Psalm 34, that you are good. You are better than a Hershey bar. And we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So Josue, Nancy, and I live in Spain. Our daughter Sophia lives in Chicago. She's a nurse. There's a picture of them. I have the privilege, along with Nancy, to serve as the regional director, or area director for Latin America and Latinos USA here, and help from behind the scenes in Spain. Globally, Freedom in Christ, we're in many countries, including Iran, China, in simplified Chinese, in Farsi, as well the Arab-speaking world, Europe, Africa, and Latin America. We're 10 countries with one country in the works, El Salvador, and thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting my parents in more ways than one. My mom, for the last years, what a blessing for her to have had and counted on you and been a part of this family. So thank you. Thank you so much. Switching gears, that's all about Freedom in Christ. Following the Luke series, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, I invite us this morning to renew our sense of amazement, of wonder, of encountering Jesus, encountering the good news, both personally, individually, as well as a community of faith, as disciples that are fishing, that are discipling, that are evangelizing, that are reaching out, fishers of people, right? So my dad, who was a missionary, he was a church planter, as well as a seminary prof, that was a sacrifice for him, but he did it because the Lord called him. He used to say, evangelism, it was something like this, evangelism is the process of collaborating with the Holy Spirit to help someone come one step closer to Christ, to Jesus. And he also said, if you're going to fish them, clean them. This integral, holistic work of evangelism and discipleship. Now, the last time that I saw my dad when he was alive was March of 2011. And I remember when I was leaving San Diego, where they were living at the time, this is the last time I saw him alive, conscious. And he was very thin that early morning when my mom was going to take me back to the airport to go back to Spain. Cancer had metastasized, but he got up early in the morning to say goodbye. And he came to the near the back door of the house, looked at me in the eye, and he said, "Rob, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." I love you. And then he embraced me with his feeble body, but it was a strong, bear-like hug. Now, not all of us have had fathers who knew how to embrace and love like that. In fact, my father didn't always know how to do that. But you know who always does? Our Father, Jesus, the Spirit, knows how to welcome and to embrace us and to love us. And I think some of us, myself included, need to rediscover the wonder and amazement of that embrace. I'll tell you, it's not really a secret. So this morning I practice, again, in this season of life, centering prayer, silent prayer. So this morning early, I took 20 minutes of silence before the Lord. And the idea is just to be in his presence, not a laundry list of asks or reading scripture. And so I started out well, my silence thinking of Jesus, and then I quickly got distracted. And 20 minutes later, I have a little app, the sound goes off to, I forgot about Jesus for 20 minutes in silence. That's how good I'm at centering prayer. And at the end, just ask for God's mercy and love. Lord, okay, I'm back to you now for a few minutes. I'm so sorry, Lord. And realizing how subtly, but we just get distracted and thoughts and we live in an idolatrous sort of way, unintentionally at times. And I thought, wow, I need to rediscover the amazement of the presence of Jesus and his embrace. Now, we read Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. I'm not going to read it all. Again, we just heard it. But just Luke 5, 9. For this is Peter and the disciples that were present, right? For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. Amazed. And the word is like amazed or astonished. Like astonished almost to the point of fear, right? Just like so surprised, just in awe. Question. Do we want to be fishers of men and women, young adults, boys and girls, disciples that fish, ambassadors of reconciliation, of the good news of Jesus Christ, do we? So if we're honest, sometimes like we feel guilty, right? So we're supposed to say yes. But in our heart of hearts, sometimes like, I know I'm supposed to say yes, but not really. Or maybe we want to, but we feel guilty, right, for not doing enough. And deep down, I believe we want what Simon, later called Simon Peter, what he experienced, to be loved, to be touched, to be sent, to be broken even, and rediscover amazement, to then love and invite others to encounter and follow Jesus. So we want this deep down inside. I believe we do. But in order for love to be shown through us, it has to come to us first. And we need to rediscover and experience again and again, at least in my life, the love of Jesus. And as we read in Revelation, the not abandon that first love, come back to the first love experience of Jesus. You know, when we receive Christ's love, I think we share it naturally. There's a story of this young man who the gospel was presented to him, and he asked the person who was sharing with him, and it was just this passionate presentation of the gospel. He said, do I need to tell somebody about this? If I decide to follow Jesus, do I need to tell somebody else? And wisely, the person said, I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to. So he went home. He hadn't given his life to Christ yet. He's still thinking about it, and then the Spirit is knocking on the door, and he goes home, goes inside the house. He walks past his parents and his siblings, hardly even says hello to them, goes upstairs, kneels, and he's just humble, and he gives his life to Christ. And he's met, and he encounters the forgiveness and life in Jesus. And he stays there for a moment. Then he walks downstairs. Hey, Mom and Dad, you know what? You know you can give your life to Jesus? And I just did that. And you don't have to tell anybody about it. And I think when we encounter Christ, it's just like there's a natural overflow. This first love, once we encounter Christ for the first time, we need to re-encounter and nurture that love. Several experiences, be touched again and again, cleansed, amazed, broken, forgiven, and loved. We need to truly face who Jesus is and who we are and our need. So before the miraculous catch of fish, Simon already knew Jesus. Actually, Jesus had healed his mother-in-law. I don't know how he felt about that or not, but he had healed his mother-in-law. They knew each other, but I think Simon, yeah, he knew Jesus, but he didn't really know how little he actually knew Jesus. In Luke 5, we see Jesus surrounded by a crowd. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. Simon and other fishermen are nearby. They're washing their nets, listening while they work. Jesus gets into Simon's boat, right? You know the story, and that improved the acoustics, it turns out. They could hear him better, and Jesus finishes, and then he states this kind of bold, insensitive words to Simon. He says, Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon responds, Master, I don't know if you noticed, we've been working hard all night. We haven't caught anything at all. And maybe inside Simon was thinking, you may know a lot about, you know, the rabbi stuff, but I don't think you know a lot about fishing. You know, like, get a clue, he's thinking inside. But then he says out loud, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. I don't know what attitude he had. We're not exactly sure, right? He obeys, I think probably not too joyfully, maybe reluctantly, we don't know. But then a miracle happens. Multiple miracles take place. The nets fill with so many fish that they begin to break. Simon and his partners call another boat to help. Both boats nearly sink from the weight of the fish. Amazing. But the most important, significant miracle is not the fish themselves. It's what happens to Simon and others. And instead of celebrating the biggest catch of his career, Simon falls to his knees before Jesus and says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner. I am a sinful man. He was in this amazed, astonished, fearful, the Greek word is thambos. Say thambos with me. He said, I went to church today and I said a Greek word. Utterly astonished, overwhelmed, almost to the point of fear. And Jesus tells Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Simon's identity is being transformed from sinner to fisher of people, yes, but also son, disciple, apostle, saint. Do you know that if you are in Christ, you are called a saint and not a sinner? In the New Testament, the term sinner is used over 300 times, but it only refers to people who are not in Christ. If you are in Christ, if we are in Christ, you and I, we are saints, children, sons, and daughters of God. So Simon's on his knees. He's broken, humbled, maybe even crying, and I imagine Jesus lifting Simon by the hands or shoulders, looking him in the eyes and saying, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And maybe Jesus even hugged him. He knew how to embrace. We know that he did that at the, you know, resurrected Jesus when he wasn't recognized by Mary Magdalene. And she, this single woman, embraces Jesus. You remember that in John? Jesus knew how to embrace. Jesus knew how to love. Fishing for people means loving people. I know Simon felt confronted, broken, but ultimately loved. And oftentimes love goes through that process of knowing who we are and feeling like, you know, like in Isaiah, where the prophet's lips are touched and he feels, it's so like he's saying, holy, holy, holy. It's just the holiness of God. It feels like we need to. And he comes to and invites us and cleanses us and embraces us. Do not be afraid. The Greek is phobiomai. You can say that with me too. Phobiomai. Two Greek words in one day. What do you think? Phobia, like phobia. Like who can help us deal with our phobias, our fears? The therapist, medication, yes, that's helpful. But in the end, what is most helpful is Jesus, the truth, the way, and the life. Don't be afraid. The invitation to make Jesus the center of our lives. As I mentioned earlier, my dad would say to others and to me, Rob, if you're going to fish them, you got to clean them. In other words, heal wounds. Help people resolve their spiritual and emotional conflicts so that we can fully experience, receive, and then share the love of God. Fish, clean, transform. See three resources up there. Alpha, Freedom in Christ, and Transform Our World. This is not a plug. I'm not selling anything. This happened to be the three resources that are among the best that I know. Maybe there's others. There are others. I know there are. But the best that I know that work for evangelism, discipleship, and transformation. But there's lots of methods. Alpha, Freedom in Christ, Transform of the World. There's many more methods, but they're just methods. And sometimes we get lost in the methods and the tools. And sometimes we even use the tools without love. So going back to Simon, have you ever had an experience like his? Have you ever heard Jesus say something directed at you personally that sounded insensitive? Like, push the boat out further into deep water and let down the nets after you've been working all night and haven't caught anything? I had my first encounter with Jesus when I was 5 years old with my dad one night. But I've needed waves of living water to refresh me. Two seasons of depression in my life, one of them was about 6 years ago, and the other was in college when I was 20 or so. And I've needed again and again these waves of Jesus' love and forgiveness and coming back, renewed encounters. And renewing the call to fish and to do it out of gratefulness and love and empowered by the Spirit. Now, I remember this experience in La Coruña where we planted a church in Spain. And I'd walked into a pub, like a cafe. And it was in the morning, and I think I was the only client that morning. And Jose, who was the bartender, cafe guy, barrister, he was dropping, he'd broken a glass and a plate, another glass. He was having a rough morning. And I sensed I was like renewing my commitment to fish, like to evangelize. And I was feeling a bit insecure because it'd gotten a bit rusty. And I sensed the Lord say to me, I want you to go and pray for him. And, you know, sometimes I've heard what I thought was the Lord, and then I am not listening to the Lord, and I do something stupid. Has that ever happened to you? So I was like, I don't know, Lord, is this your voice or not? I said, I tell you what, you don't always want to make deals like this with the Lord, but I said, I'm going to go into the bathroom, Lord, and then if this is of you, when I walk out of the bathroom, please have Jose walking towards me. And it's just like Jose and me and a few people in the kitchen. It's a big place. So I walk out of the bathroom, and guess what? Jose's walking towards me. So, okay, so I got it. And so I kind of fumbled through my words. Hey, Jose, kind of rough morning, huh? I said, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I just feel so nervous. And I said, I don't know if you know God, believe in God. It's kind of strange. I know maybe, but could I just ask God to help you? Is that okay? He looks at me, he looks around. He's like, just 20 seconds. And I'll do it with my eyes open. He said, okay. And so I pray. Padre, I did it in Spanish, okay? But I'll do it in English today. Lord, would you just help Jose? Would you touch him with your peace, with your presence? Catholic country, and then I prayed, would you do this? And I pray, help him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that was it. A couple nights later, I came back, and it was full. They're having live music downstairs, tons of people, and I kind of go in through the people. I get to the bar, and I say, Jose, Jose. And Jose turns around, he looks at me, and he like freezes. Roberto, ¿qué me hiciste? What did you do? I didn't see him again. But it was this astonishment. He had experienced peace. He had been touched by Jesus. And I fumbled through that. It wasn't like, oh, I was so good at evangelizing. Now, this is me. Nancy would probably never do that unless God, like lightning bolt, you know. So God wants to use you and your gifts and your personality. You don't have to do it like I do, but he wants you to fish. He wants you to be loved to love. Rediscover this amazement. Each one of us is sent to fish and clean. Individually. Me, you, where you work, where you live, where you shop. And to make it not a moment or a method, but a lifestyle. Where at times we use a method that's useful, but to make it a lifestyle. To fish and clean. To evangelize and disciple. And I would say transform. We're all called, but perhaps we need to re-encounter this sense of amazement, of wonder, of brokenness, of good news. And I don't know about you, but in Spain at least, parts of Latin America, there are countries where there's so many evangelicals. Like Guatemala is 51% evangelical. But there's been a regression of human rights. The country is worse off as there are more converts. And that equation, there's something that's not working. And so what we know as Christianity for many people doesn't sound like good news. It can be certain minorities, it can be women at times, or children, or any number of people, and it is good news. And we need to be cleaned and purified, and we need to share good news. And with some people, the LGBTQ community, and I'm Orthodox, I'm conservative in my theology, but my starting point has been, I am so, so sorry for how you have been treated by the church. To love, it is good. Jesus is good news. Taste and know that he is good. But I want to invite you in this last 8 to 10 minutes, I think I have, if I'm not mistaken, I think. Not just individually, but collectively. What does it mean to fish together? I've learned from my friend Edgardo Siloso. He's married to Ruth Palau. Some of you are older may have heard of Liz Palau. It's his sister. He just turned 80. He's the director of Transform Our World. And he uses this metaphor. Jesus talked about living water, right? Does that ring a bell? Living water. Water is found in lagoons, and it's found in rivers, ponds, and all sorts of things. But lagoons and rivers, okay? A lagoon contains life, yeah? But a river carries life. So Edgardo writes in his book Ecclesia and Prayer Evangelism. Those are the two main books I recommend if you're interested in reading more. So a lagoon is like faith, where you just simply attend. You attend worship service and you invite people on Sundays, right? That's like a lagoon. That's not bad. It's okay. There's life. There is life. There's life here this morning, right? But it's so much more than a Sunday morning. It's so much more than inviting somebody to a worship service. A river, on the other hand, flows with life. It's where we, the church, where we go with life from here. Amen? Okay. So a lagoon mindset is wanting to keep the gospel contained in our church services, meetings, gatherings. But the kingdom of God is not about keeping the good news in a controlled space. It's about letting it flow like a river. Rapids. A lagoon is like keeping a lion locked in a cage. A river is like releasing the lion into the wild as it's meant to be. A lagoon is comfortable, manageable. A river has current, sometimes rough waters, and it can feel dangerous. So the river is a kingdom metaphor. A river has two banks. One bank, one side, represents five key paradigms. The other bank, prayer evangelism. So here are the five paradigms, cliff notes, okay? What are they? The Great Commission. We're called the disciple nations. Two, Jesus died not only for you and me, but for the world. He came to save those who were lost, the who and the that. So redeeming culture, redeeming even politics. I don't mean that. Redeeming arts, redeeming education, redeeming the ecological call, redeeming people and the creation, the world. Work, third, is a part of our worship. That's the third part. Fourth, Jesus builds his church. We do not. Psalm 127:1. Five, the gospel involves breaking systemic poverty, spiritual poverty, relational poverty, motivational and material poverty. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. It's a mindset. So the second bank of the river is prayer evangelism. Luke 10 teaches us to bless people, proclaiming peace over individuals, families, businesses, shops, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Communist Party, everybody, to bless, and blessing is blessing with the kingdom of God, blessing with God's values and principles. And there's this network of 400 cities around the world where they've seen systemic change in every continent. Ciudad Juarez, Mexico is one of them, San Jose, California is another, parts of New York, and where the churches come together in unity, Pentecostals, not Pentecostals, Baptists, some Catholics that love Jesus and want to see change, want to see the spiritual climate change. And they go together and visit every block, every neighborhood, every hospital, every place where there are lawyers or whatever, educational institutions, high schools, elementary schools, and they bless. They're not screaming it out. They do it, you know, sensitively, but blessing a block, a neighborhood, Wheaton. And they have seen the spiritual climate change, and then they apply the paradigms. So I want to read a story to close. It's a story of Pastor Brian. I've Zoomed with him. He's in Thailand. He's from the UK. He pastors a church in Thailand. And he's applied these two banks, the five paradigms and prayer evangelism. But his question was, how can I implement these principles with such a small group of believers in a country that is 96% Buddhist and almost 4% Muslim? So he decided to share this vision and implement this vision of the river, right? And as a result, several people left his church, because he's supposed to do the work. And he was left with 16 members. That's encouraging. One of them was Juan Lapa. Let me read her story. It's from Edgardo Siroso's book, Ecclesia. So when Pastor Brian met Juan Lapa, she was a spiritist medium who was dying from stage 4 cancer. She was literally on the brink of death. However, Juan Lapa was miraculously and instantly healed. Brian noticed that she had a gift for business. So he bought her a 3-wheeled motorcycle equipped with a small cart for selling ice cream. And this was before he understood the teaching of the five biblical paradigms and prayer evangelism, the river. Juan Lapa, for 10 years after this incredible miracle, shared her testimony with many people, but never led anyone to Christ. That changed when she began practicing prayer evangelism and applying the principles of the riverbanks. This teaching led to a complete transformation in her way of life. She no longer saw herself as just an ice cream vendor. Instead, she saw herself as someone anointed for business, worshiping God through her work. Juan Lapa dedicated her ice cream cart to the Lord and anointed it, calling it a chariot of fire. She saw each ice cream cone as an arrow in the hands of a mighty warrior. She even prayed over the boxes of ice cream, God, that as customers tasted them, they would also experience his goodness. Silently, she started imparting peace, one ice cream at a time, to each customer, following the 4 steps of prayer evangelism. The results were astonishing. Customers thought she changed the brand of ice cream because it tasted better. But in reality, the change was spiritual. Her cart had become a mobile Ark of the Covenant, carrying God's presence into the marketplace, the workplace. This shifted the spiritual climate, atmosphere everywhere her cart went. So as people opened up about their needs, Juan Lapa would offer prayers of faith, and God answered them. Within a year, the church grew to 700 members, largely due to Juan Lapa's obedience in applying prayer evangelism. But even with this incredible impact, Juan Lapa wasn't satisfied. She had also embraced the principle that evangelism and discipleship was not just about individuals, but about discipling nations. Every day she passed by the house of the provincial governor, silently praying for him. And since she couldn't make direct contact with such a high-ranking official, she threw blessings over the wall. She didn't throw ice cream cones, okay? Blessings, all right? Declaring, "He doesn't know that I'm his pastor, but I know that he is my sheep." Her prayers were doubly powerful because his political enemies referred to him as Mr. Corruption. But that didn't intimidate her. She had learned from her pastor that blessings, once spoken, break curses. Something shifted. One day, the governor approached, bought an ice cream, and as soon as he tasted it, something supernatural happened. The anointing upon it led to a powerful encounter with God. Now, I know this guy, okay, Brian. I'm not talking, this is not Reader's Digest, which is good, good stories. But sometimes we hear stories like, yeah, so I know about this guy, okay? I know about Juan Lapa. The anointing upon that ice cream led in that experience to a powerful experience, encounter with God, and Juan Lapa didn't miss the opportunity to pray for him, the river, but also invite him to where there's also life. It's okay. Invited the governor to worship, where he surrendered his life to Christ. And the story goes on of corruption in a hospital and how they recovered like $2 or $3 million because of his corruption. Like Zacchaeus, I think also in Luke 5. Transformation that affects cities, that affects regions, affects states, affects nations. Peter, all this hard work comes to the end of his resources. Do you feel that way sometimes? Peter had multiple moments of amazement, and another one was in John. You know, after he denied Jesus 3 times again, Peter, you know, what a case, kind of like us. Jesus restores him, feed my sheep, right? And again, recovers this love, the first love for Jesus. And everything else, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. It's true. How often I forget. So I invite you in just a few seconds. Would you close your eyes? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you renew amazement? Maybe it's for the first time, but maybe again, Jesus, we come to you. And in our heart of hearts, we kneel. And in a sense, there's part of it that says, Lord, I'm not worthy. Oh, in my brokenness, really, God, you're inviting me again. And Jesus says, come. Take my yoke upon you. Rest. Be still and know that I am God and I love you. And let yourself be embraced and cleansed in your own way. Just connect with God. Just 10, 15 seconds of silence. Come, Holy Spirit. Fish me again and make me a fisher of people. And we do pray, giving thanks in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.